Hey everybody. So this is a lost episode, meaning we recorded it a while ago as a backlog filler and then became a bit apprehensive about releasing it for one big reason. This film, and therefore episode, covers some very spicy topics, including homosexuality, suicide, transgenderism, and race. Now, can you guess how well the film handles all these topics? Spoiler alert, it's not very well. We try to combat a lot of the ass-backwards views the film has as best we can while trying to be entertaining in the process, but if you are not in the mood to hear about topics like this, then please feel free to skip this episode. Although I would say that I think this episode is actually really, really good. But also, most of the episode is me reading from a list of terrible things that the movie says or does, and then me and Dan just mocking it vigorously. So, again, I say this in the review, and I'll say it again right now. Please do not support or watch this film. Just let us be your eyes, okay? The movie is trash. So anyways, thanks for listening in advance, and I appreciate you guys and girls. Thanks again. Okay, enjoy.
Hello!
And welcome
to the Indie Film Review. I bet that's annoying in your ear holes.
Yes.
You are hearing stereo.
My name is Jared, that's Dan.
Hello, boys and girls.
We review
It's your old pal
films.
Stinky Whistle Teats. That's a deep
I'm gonna
cut.
Teach your mother to suck eggs. Oh, and on that note, we watched the film called Loquisha.
Loquisha! Yeah!
Boy, came out this year, came out on Amazon. This Amazon literally tried to stop me from watching this, Dan.
Really? How's that?
I had to change my parental settings to watch Loquisha.
Really?
Dan, I don't have parental settings. So I don't know what was, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't have kids, so I don't know what it was trying to
restrict me from. It was totally fine on mine. It played right through. It's like, you would watch this, wouldn't you, you little piece of shit?
You little piece of shit.
Thanks, Amazon.
So, Dan, please tell us what Loquisha is.
Oh, boy. So, there's this bartender, right?
Uh-huh.
So, this guy walks into the bar, and the bartender's like, hey, I need money for my kid's tuition because he's going to a really, really fancy all-boys school or whatever. And then the person's like, shut up and give me a drink, as they should. Anyway, the bartender decides to become a radio show host. But the catch is they don't want a white guy. They don't want white privilege anymore. They want
That's right.
minority women. So what does he do with his white privileged pants pulled all the way up? He marches into his cell phone and he starts talking like a black lady.
Wait a minute. He marches into his cell phone?
This is mine.
You're right. Go ahead, continue.
He marches into his cell phone, starts talking like a black lady, sends that shit into them, and he gets the job.
Yep, immediately. No questions asked.
None whatsoever. The lengths that they go through to make it a mystery at first, before this thing, basically, we're going to talk about it, but I'm going to tell you right now, don't watch this movie.
Okay, yeah. Don't watch it.
It blows up at one point, but the lengths they go to keep it from being public and more of a mystery is just asinine, I think.
Asinine is a good word to describe this entire film. We're going to spoil this movie immediately. There's not even going to be a preamble. Seriously, don't watch this movie.
Now, I will say, there were parts of this movie that I did start to enjoy. I believe the film was competently made, except for the first 30 minutes. The first 30 minutes were really rough, but as soon as it hits its stride, I'm like, okay, this is a movie.
Here's what I'll say, because we'll do all the positives first, and then we're going to go into my 5 pages of negatives. It's like the most notes I've taken on a film in a long time. Directing was serviceable.
Yes,
like you
absolutely.
Were saying, like, Nothing about the editing drove me crazy. It was fine.
And as much as I didn't necessarily like the narrative was, it was well written. Like the dialogue, I believe, was a bit spotty, but that's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about like the overall structure to follow this movie. It worked.
Man, I don't know about that. This movie is a fucking train wreck with the story.
If the movie stopped whenever he came to, and we didn't have the epilogue of that one lady becoming Lucretia.
I mean, this movie ends like 4 different times. The film could have ended.
Yes. It was like Lord of the Rings Part 3. It was fucking ridiculous.
It was driving me crazy.
So, mate, you know what? You're right. Whatever you're about to say, you're right. Stop saying it.
Wait, I'm trying to do positives. Let me think of some more things.
How do you like the acting?
It was okay.
I liked the acting.
Like, a lot of it wasn't bad. But here's the issue. It's not the acting. It's not the directing. It's the writing.
Right.
The writing is the worst. And why it's the worst is that it's like if someone wrote a fanfic for themselves to make themselves feel better about how their career was going. That's how I feel like this, like what this movie is. It's like nobody understands me, so I have to be someone else so people will listen to me. And I take that literally as what the writer is trying to say to everyone else. The writer is the director, and he did all this stuff. Is Jeremy Saville, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
This movie felt way too personal. Okay, everybody loves the main character. He gives the best advice, even though it is the dumbest advice I've ever heard. And the most obvious advice I've ever heard. And all the women in the film are either bad or stupid. And he has to help and fix them. And he's like a god. He's a god in his own weird theater, his puppet theater. And it's just like he's a genius and no one can see it. And it's weird. I don't know. It's like watching a Neil Breen movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know how like Neil Breen and Tommy Wiseau, they make themselves the center of just the entire universe. And everyone's like, "You're so great, Mr. Breen. But why doesn't anyone listen to you?" Be like, "I'm a secret agent. And
now
my biceps are so beautiful.
I did feel
I'm going to have sex with all the women."
I did feel that. I felt like in addition to it being personal, I felt like it was personal in retaliation.
Yes.
Like he felt wronged, so he made this movie.
Yes. So another thing is that this guy is self-aware. He knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that I genuinely believe that he believes what he's doing is good.
There's this disconnect, and I want to bring this up kind of immediately.
Yes.
Where he has a lot of, I don't want to call it incel, but like this white male privilege attitude about things. Mm-hmm. And he tries to put that forth, but at the same time bring in diverse opinions to combat it. But it's still kind of foregrounding his own ideas.
So he does a thing where he'll take people's criticism that he knows he's going to get. And he'll be like, "See, I've acknowledged that criticism.
Yeah, that's exactly what
now
I'm talking
about.
Now
you can't say I'm a bad person."
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And he does that constantly.
Like he's overcompensating.
I have a list of different things in this movie that drove me insane.
Before you get into your list, I do want to say, like, without a shadow of a doubt, that making a film in which you impersonate a black woman and calling it Lucretia in 2019 is a bad move.
That's a bad idea. But it got a publicity. I don't know if that was good publicity.
Any publicity is good publicity, Jared.
I really do think that he thought he was going to make this movie and people were going to see it as, "Oh, this is cool. It's like Mrs. Doubtfire. It's like White Chicks." Because he even references those in the film. So in his head, he thinks like, this is a really good idea. He doesn't see why this would be a bad idea.
The film was extremely
self-reflective. I believe he thinks that.
Yes.
Yeah. Gosh, like, how does he not know? This is not a good idea. Okay,
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start reading this list, and Dan, I want you to interject at any time.
Okay.
Because it even might remind you of certain scenes, and we can talk about those scenes.
All right, I like this format.
Doing a black racist caricature, and just say it's racist that you think that you're doing a black racist caricature. So, what that means, he's doing this voice. It's not a good voice. Everyone in the universe of this movie has to be incredibly dumb. He brings up the fact, he has his girlfriend character who's... Say, like...
Are you talking about Rachel?
I guess. Is that her name?
Yeah, she's attractive.
Yes, she is. She's very attractive.
Just wanted... That's also a thing that was very right with the movie.
Yes.
I enjoyed all of her scenes.
God damn it. I like Rachel because she's pretty. I like it when she's on the camera because I like looking at her face.
She was good. She was a good actress, too. It's just...
Yeah, she's good. But she calls out the main character... And she's like, you made a black racist stereotype character. But then I'm like, well, Jeremy wrote this into his film to have her say that to him. So then he could respond back and be like, blah, blah, blah. So I think Jeremy, the creator of this movie, is not trying to be racist. And that when he's saying this stuff about like, I'm trapped inside, like there's a black woman trapped inside of my body. Like he's trying to... be relatable and connect with people through this, but he's so tone deaf. He's not getting any of it. And the biggest problem is that none of it's funny.
Yeah.
I didn't laugh a single time during this movie. I was so
And isn't
bored.
He like a comedian?
Yes. And his comedy is so boring. I tried watching it. I tried watching his sketches. They're just, you're just sitting there going, why is he doing this? Why? None of it's funny. But maybe to some people it is. I don't know who those people are.
Dads. Our generation of dads, you know what I mean?
Dads of
dads. Not like millennial dads, but like my dad.
So like, here's a joke. I'm going to tell you a joke, Dan.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you transgender?
No.
Well, that was the joke. What do you think? You're not gay, are you? Are you laughing? Hey, it was funny, so it was a good joke. That's what passes off as jokes in this movie. Cool. Good joke. All right. So I'm not saying you can't make jokes about transgender and gay people, but actually construct a joke.
Well, yeah, if because essentially what it becomes is like it's the most base form of gay being a punchline.
It's a nothing. And I'm not saying you can't make a movie like this. You can. But it has to be funny. That's the problem. And you have to have somewhere where you're coming from. And I kind of see he's trying to go towards that angle. But if you don't have the performances and the writing to back that up, it's not going to fucking work. So you picked one of the hardest subjects to tackle and just had nothing. It was like a flat line. Nothing going on.
This film would have done well like 20 years ago.
It does feel like it came out in like 2000, for sure. And in defense, Jeremy Saville is like, well, White Chicks was a movie and everyone loved that. And I'm like, I don't know if everybody loved that.
I fucking hate White Chicks.
That movie didn't get reviewed well and it wasn't a good movie. It was not very funny. And I don't think anyone really remembers it very fondly. Like, I can't think of a single thing about that film. Where I was like, oh,
well,
was
I mean,
really
you
good.
Also have things like Trading Places, and that was like the 80s, I think, with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. What else?
But were they acting as caricatures of each other,
no.
Or were they just themselves in another person's body?
They were themselves in another person's body.
Exactly. Okay, number two. All the writer's advice is the best and most profound advice you've ever heard. Just no one listens to him because he's a white guy.
Yeah, right? No, the film starts off with this amazing scene, right?
Okay.
Like, what propels us into the narrative is this woman, Rachel, comes into a bar that's occupied by both Jeremy the bartender and his regular. And this woman doesn't seem to be a regular at all. And she's just having a bad day. And she comes in and asks for the strongest drink, which he proceeds to give her, to which she replies, what are you trying to do, kill me?
Is this where I insert the cricket sound?
Okay, so you, like you said, it's not a funny movie, but that is the joke that gets everything started. And if you see, I feel like,
oh, man,
I feel like that's what made this 30 minutes, like the first 30 minutes for me were just awful, because it took me so long to recover from that joke, because I'm like, this is going to be a comedy. I hope there's laughs involved. And if that was the very first big laugh, I'm like, Jesus, fuck.
This is what's rough about this movie. It's not even a film you could get together and make fun of with your friends, because it's so boring.
You can make a drinking game funny out of about it.
Yes, you could, but it's not like The Room bad, you know what I mean? Or like Miami Connection ridiculous. It's just flat, by the numbers.
So absurdity would serve this film pretty well. But keep going.
Yes, please. Anything absurd. Like maybe a Wayans Brothers movie. I don't know. Those are a little absurd, right? The writer has empathy. So that means he can say a ton of unfunny stuff, and that makes it okay. We covered that. No one has working ears.
What does that mean?
The writer's self-aware of how bad it is, so that makes it funny. Okay.
Oh, you mean... You mean the impression that he's doing?
Yes.
No one has working ears.
Yeah. No one can somehow figure out that he's a white guy talking to himself when he does his audition thing. It's ridiculous. And then he tries to justify it. When he has that racist older white guy call in, he basically says the voice that he's doing. He's like, it's racist for you thinking that the voice I'm doing is racist, basically. Because how do you define what a black woman sounds like? But yet he wrote this. Radio stations want women and minorities. Everyone knows this, Dan.
Yes.
That's why they're all the number one on the radio thing that everyone listens to.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's why Bubba the Love Sponge is so popular. You know.
That's right. That's why Howard Stern failed within his first year. Because he wasn't black or womanly enough. Everyone knows this. This is all common sense. I live in this universe. Smartphones make you stupid. Dan, did you know that sometimes when you're using a smartphone, it really makes you feel stupid?
I call them dumb phones.
Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of really great advice you're going to get from this movie.
You know what blows my mind? Is he's so good at giving advice. His character, I mean.
Uh-huh.
And then whenever he gets advice, he gets it from a child. And he's like, huh, that's
Or he's giving advice to himself. That's how godlike this guy is. It's fucking insane.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's so true.
There's this whole angle in the movie where Loquisha is giving advice to the main character, which is him. And I actually would have liked the movie, like a small degree, if Loquisha actually became a personality that was taking over him. If they like did a supernatural thing. But of course, he had to squash that immediately. He's like, oh, no, this is a character. Oh, whatever. Oh, whatever. Okay. Being completely honest is actually a good thing, Dan. So from now on, you need to be completely honest to everyone you ever meet all the time, because that's what the world really needs.
No.
So be sure to be super honest to your boss.
Here's
your coworkers.
The deal, guys. In case
people
you
on the street,
need us to tell you that, lies kind of make the world go round.
You have to lie. Everyone lies. You don't want to tell everybody the truth all the time because the truth hurts people's feelings. I don't want people to tell me the truth about me all the time. It's going to make me really sad.
And I don't want my wife to know that I have herpes.
That's right. Wait a minute. And I don't want Dan's wife to know that I gave him herpes. See, that's a joke.
Keep reading.
So he calls his love interest really fucking stupid, and she kind of acts pretty dumb, but also he wrote her to be that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, what the fuck?
That's, I think, the movie's biggest weakness is you're right. The fact that he wrote all the characters to be subservient.
To suck his dick all the time.
To this white privileged dude who thinks he's not white privileged.
Yes, that is him to a T. He's just kind of like, I don't want to be narcissistic. I don't want to be self-absorbed. And I'm like, you're doing that right now, man. This entire movie is that. So it's like he thinks just because he calls it out, it doesn't make it so, number one. And it does. He makes so many sex change jokes. They're not really jokes. They're just kind of like, are you a woman trapped in a man's body? Are you going through a transgender phase? Are you changing your sex? And I'm just like, just saying that is not a joke. Here's number 15.
Oh.
Everyone is really, really stupid. No, seriously. The writer has no agenda and just needs to stay true to himself. He's a better black woman than black women. Do you know why? Because he made a black woman say that to him in his own film.
Yes.
So that makes it true. The movie knows you're a racist misogynist that doesn't listen to black women. Are you gay or transgender, though? No, seriously. Because that would not be okay.
Just to clarify, Jared is reading off of his notes.
Yes. Are you gay? Dan, tell me right now if you're fucking gay. That's number 17. Preaching at you about basic kindergarten shit means the writer is way smarter than you. So it's okay that he made this movie.
You know what's funny is, you know, we're shitting on it pretty hard, but we still watched it. We gave it clicks.
I didn't pay for it. That's for fucking sure. People who commit suicide just want attention.
That was probably the most fucked up part of this movie. Oh my God.
Seriously.
He toyed with the woman. A woman calls into Lucretia's show and she's about to commit suicide. And Lucretia's like, well, good for you, basically. I'm like, oh.
Go do it. She's like, go and do it right now.
That's not the right thing to say.
Because everyone knows that people who want to commit suicide are just trying to get attention. They're just trying to get attention. Yeah, that's it. I'm sure there's a small percentage of people out of the laws of probability that are. But to say that all... That's the thing. This guy works in generalizations
for everything. His entire mindset is generalizations. That is the issue with this movie, for sure.
It is the many fucked horcrux of this film that you could find all nine of them right here in one movie. And God damn it, that drives me crazy. So he's telling this lady, like, oh, yeah, go do it. Like, or you could go to Paris. That's much more fun. So it's like he tries to give her some good advice after. But the first thing he says is, like, go fucking kill yourself.
You're completely correct. So the idea that he works out of generalizations, that is why the comedy falls short. Because what makes comedy work in situations that are controversial, such as, you know, homosexuality, transgender, suicide, mm-hmm. things like that, are nuances. Because if you can massage the nuance and allow your audience to pick up on the subtleties, then the intent shifts and people know you're joking. But because he's only working in generalization, it makes everything a huge clusterfuck of, why the fuck are you doing this, man?
He is constantly re-explaining what's going on in the movie and in the plot to every character because he thinks you're stupid. This is the dumbest dumb movie for dummies I've seen in a while. And it's insulting to watch. And what makes it even more infuriating is how much he puts himself on a pedestal. So it's like he talks how great he is in his own film and then treats everybody in the film like dummies, including the people watching it. And it drives me fucking crazy. And then says, like, everything he's saying is genius, which it's like, God damn it. So, Dan, I don't know if you know this. If you just tell someone to care about themselves more, then they'll just not want to commit suicide. That's it. It's really simple.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, if you're just like, hey, you should, like, you know, like yourself more. Does that make you not want to kill yourself?
No.
Is this helping? No, it's not? Well, I'm all out of ideas because Loquisha said that should work. I wrote, I think the writer wants to become a cult leader.
You know, oh my God.
This is like his intro movie to joining his weird cult.
Is he Lucretia as the cult leader?
He's whatever he needs to be.
He's the Joe Show? Okay. There's another thing. Out of all of the unnuanced insanity that this movie is, at the very end... He wraps it up in a nice bow and he gets his own talk show as a white guy.
Yep. Tricks that lady into loving him. And she knows that she's been tricked, but is still okay with it. and still has sex with him at the end of the film. Cool. Because they're in love with each other now, I guess. Because I'm the writer, and that's what's going to happen. This is my fanfic.
The more we talk about it, the more I'm like, yeah, this was not a good movie.
It was so bad. And then he makes the Loquisha stand-in. Okay, because his radio show gets so popular that he has to have an actress play Loquisha for public appearances. And that lady becomes the villain of the movie. Because she is blackmailing him. Or what was it?
Femaling him.
Yeah, black femaling him. Ha 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 ha. Are you laughing? It's real funny. It's good. If you're not, you just don't get it. Guys.
Here, let me explain it to you.
It's just
with my white male privilege. See, she's black and she's not a male.
What?
So the joke is she's black femaling him. You get it?
She made this character racist. So that all the other stuff that he says is okay. And that's a lot of, like I said, he keeps doing that a bunch where it's like, but she's bad, so what I'm doing isn't bad, right? And it's just like, God, fuck you, man. Fuck you. And then she makes that lady at the end to defeat her say that he is a better black person than her. And that somehow being a black person is like a skill that you have to have. It's like a weird idea. So he says, like, the caricature is bad, right? That what he's doing is like, well, it's racist for you to even think it's a caricature. But then he writes a lady who says, no, you're actually being more of a black woman than I am. So it's like he brings up a point and then destroys that point because he doesn't even understand what his own point is. I don't think. It's very confusing because, like, not every black woman you meet is going to sound like that. Just like not every white person you meet is going to sound like the most stereotypical caricature that you could do of a white person or a Chinese person.
Hey, I don't like you defending the white person. People. Can you stop that, please?
You're right.
It's not our time anymore.
It's ridiculous, Dan. I just hate how he tries to justify everything with this fucking bullshit. Oh, okay. Is it holistic healing if no one wants it?
That's a very good question.
Because he tries to spin this entire film off of, like, I'm helping people. I'm making people see that the error of their ways. And I'm like, what if nobody wants you to do that?
If a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound?
Okay, everyone thinks it's okay that you pretended to be a black lady because you told it like it is. So everyone at the end of the film is, like, super jazzed that he did this and is, like, totally accepting him.
Then the other thing, too.
And they all love it.
So the very first person he tells is this guy that comes into his bar randomly. Yes. Like, he's never established as a regular, but apparently he's a regular. And he's a black guy. And whenever Joe tells him this, he's like, and I want you to produce the show. He agrees.
100%. No conflict there. Nothing funny.
Cannot imagine that ever happening.
Nope.
Ever.
Everyone in this movie is like that. They're all just like, okay, sure.
Somebody's getting their ass slapped.
Ridiculous.
They bring that up.
Okay, replace that scene. I'm in the scene now with this guy and I just say, hey, so I'd like to put this large metal rod through your urethra. What do you think? And you're going to produce it. Yeah? Okay, cool. Wow, that was really easy. I thought maybe you'd have some questions. But here we go, I guess. The movie points out how bad his character voice is. But it's okay because the advice was good. Then he dedicates the movie to his mom and dad.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad.
Then I have, using generalizations of a race of people is okay because it's the truth.
That's called a stereotype.
I saw some people do it, so that's fine, I guess. So it's like his logic of using the generalization of a stereotypical black woman is okay because that's what he thinks people expect. But then he calls out that white caller for saying that his character is racist because that caller is assuming that his voice is a black woman's voice. It's this weird, like, fucking Ouroboros of bullshit that he does. Where it's like, you think this is racist because you're racist. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? And then, oh, so imagine all of that, but it's not funny at all. None of it's good. He's so bad at everything. Dan, final thoughts.
Jesus Christ. Jeremy Saville, or Saville, if you ever listen to this, just know that we're doing exactly what you did. We're just trying to put our product out there without offending him.
Look, I'm just a white guy trapped in a movie reviewer's body, okay? That's all I am.
Oh, shit. Final thoughts. The more you talk about this film, the less I like it, basically. Like, it was passable at first, but now it's not even passable.
The writing is so bad that everything is delivered so flatly that it's a hard sit through. Guys, please please find us where you're going to find us. We're on iTunes. We're on the Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Twitter is @IndieFilmPod. Instagram is @IndieFilmReviewPod. Find us on Facebook. Do all the things.
So that's it, guys. Dan, you have the final word.
Jeremy Saville is not a racist.